sermons from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, and I'm going to read for you out of the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. I recognize we don't usually interrupt our series of messages. We do it few times a year. Many times we do it around the time of the Reformation. I mean, there's no scriptural mandate to do so. And we recognize in the New Testament there's no particular day than one. I mean, we are able to worship the Lord and gather together in any day, but we are demanded to do it and expected to do it on the Lord's Day, and so we honor that. And there's no particular day of the year in which we will mandated to speak on the resurrection, but the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our own resurrection are so integral and important and essential in the simple message of the gospel and in the promise and the fulfillment of the Old and New Testament, that we would be amiss if we fail to speak of it. Certainly when we read in our own reading or hearing in public from the book of Acts, chapter after chapter, sermon after sermon, witness after witness throughout, as given by the early believers in the New Testament, or whether it's Peter or Paul or any of the other leaders of the church at Jerusalem or in anywhere else, to the resurrection, and the power of the resurrection. We know how important the simple gospel is concerning the life and ministry and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But without the resurrection, the power of the death of Christ and the effectual nature of the death of Christ is unknown to us. And in that glorious passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians is such a good book, and we're reminded that how the Apostle Paul was the minister at the church of Ephesians, at Ephesus rather, and later on John the Apostle, the beloved disciple who is given to us by the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of John and the three epistles of John, and certainly the book of the Revelation. He also was the pastor of the church. What a glorious place and benefit they had from those who ministered to them. And in that great chapter that so beautifully opens up to us the plan and purpose of God in Christ Jesus from the very beginning is made known, we end with a beautiful prayer. And we've often noted how all the epistles, somewhere in the beginning of the epistles, even in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, there are prayers by the apostles on behalf of God's people, and we're able to glean and learn from that. And that last prayer is that God would reveal to us in Christ Jesus himself, and particularly is made known unto us the power of the resurrection. When we consider and when we speak about salvation message or the gospel message or our own salvation, it's in light of the power of God in resurrection from death to life and from darkness to light. And we know how important it was for the Gospels themselves, that in all the Gospels, the end of those Gospels, or near the very end of those Gospels, the Holy Spirit moved in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John to speak of the capstone of all the earthly ministry of Christ in the resurrection. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1, is probably the most known and read and probably preached from concerning the resurrection of Christ. And then, of course, Mark chapter 16. And then here in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, and then in John chapter 20. So here we read in verse 1 of Luke, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of our Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them like shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." Now this is a glorious story, and again we recognize in any simple reading of these Gospels, in each one we're given a little different detail or more insight of what has taken place. None of them contradict the other, but all of them are written from a particular perspective and for a particular purpose. Here emerges, and all of them emerges somewhere, the fact that these women, these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are four that are named, whether it's in Matthew, and then more as more of the gospel unfolded, we recognize their other names. So we know that there are four that are named. And the implication is when we read this, there were others. How many others there were, we don't know. There might have been at least five, and maybe altogether six, maybe more, maybe only about five or so. And we recognize, it tells us, especially here in the book of Luke, if you turn over the pages in your scripture to the 23rd chapter, you recognize that as they took down, in verse 53 of chapter 23, as they took down the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was wrapped in linen and laid in the sepulchre, because the day of preparation, the Sabbath, the Old Testament Sabbath, was about to come into view, and so things were being rushed through in order to meet the requirements and their duties to the law of God as he had laid down for them. They laid the Lord Jesus in the sepulchre, and the women began to preserve ointment and spices to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus for its preservation. And so it's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of love and sorrow. It's a picture of loyalty. These women, in many instances and respects, seem to be more loyal than the Lord Jesus' own disciples, men disciples who fled away and couldn't be found, and even Peter, who had denied the Lord several times. And yet, here were these, except, of course, we recognize Joseph of Arimathea, who took the body and Nicodemus, those two Pharisees who were willing to take the body of the Lord Jesus and lay him in the tomb. But these women were faithful women, loyalty, love, concern, and we might say, and I think we can say, particularly by what we read here from this chapter, they were perplexed and they were fearful. They were not as strong in the faith as they could have been and they should have been, but we can't say that they found any more in the men disciples. But nevertheless, we have a beautiful thing emerging for us. And who is to say, as we compare our lives and our faith to them, we recognize some have greater degree of faith than others. God graciously grants us faith. And all of us need more faith. And all of us grow in grace and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they did not quite remember, they did not quite perceive, or they did not fully understand the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that, or one of the first things, I should say, that the angels, these heavenly messengers, confronted these ladies with the fact, didn't you recall, didn't you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we can go back in the scripture itself and just look at a few of the places that in Matthew, Mark and Luke and even John, where we have a record of the teaching and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he declared the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and crucified and the third day rise again. You take the time. You can take the time. Look it up for yourself. We have it in Matthew 16:21. We have it in Matthew 17:22 and 23. We have it in Matthew 20:17-19. We have it in Mark 8:31, 9:31, 10:33-35. We have it in Luke 9:22, 9:44, Luke 18:31-34. Jesus clearly taught regarding not only his upcoming death that was prophesied and clearly seen in the Old Testament. Who of us haven't read and are not familiar with Psalm 22 and how Psalm 22, David is able, by the Holy Spirit, is able to speak about the death of Christ, and Psalm 22 is referred to a number of times in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. Who of us is not familiar with the other scriptures in the Old Testament? The whole Old Testament ceremonial law looked to the necessity of the Lamb of God and the shedding of blood. We certainly look at Isaiah 53. We read in our hearing the glorious words of the faith chapter in Hebrews, and pictured for us is the faith of our spiritual forefathers and the spiritual, and that they were both real and they were historic, but they served many times as types of those to come. And we read about Abraham. We read this morning Abraham by faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and the provision that God made for Isaac in the lamb. But as Abraham made all the preparation, because he was following the command of God, from God, and then in the glorious next verse, we're able to, or the next two verses, we're able to read that he believed in the whole idea, the whole doctrine, the whole teaching of resurrection. Remember, that separated the Pharisees from the Sadducees. The Sadducees, which are the ultra-liberals in the New Testament era, who didn't believe really in supernatural. They didn't believe in miracles. They rejected all the prophets, except for they only took the first five books of Moses and accepted them as authority, but they rejected them. Because where do we read about Abraham in the first five books of the Bible? We read about him in Genesis. And we read that he had faith, believing in the fact that God could raise up his son, which of course was not only a real faith, and which certainly God could do if he chose to do it, but it was a picture of our own resurrection because of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection is so, so very important. And we would neglect our duties as believers, that certainly within the scope of the ministry of the church, if we did not focus again and again on the resurrection. It's not incidental to this passage, nor is it accidental to this passage. We begin by reading now upon the first day of the week. And go back in Matthew. And go back in Mark. And go look in John. And each one of them, somewhere in the record of the resurrection, will say and tell us on the first day of the week. The old order with the ordinances and the pictures and the signs and the tabernacle and the sacrifices was coming to an end. We read about that. We've been reading in the book of Hebrews in our New Testament lesson each Lord's Day. And certainly the Hebrews tells us about the old order. If it was to accomplish, and it was the end of all things, would have never given way. But it all gave way for the better, for that which was the fulfillment. Okay. So that the last day of the week, the day of worship, the day of looking back at the rest that God had in the work of creation, and the work of the Exodus, which would speak of the eternal rest that we have in Christ in salvation. A new day. A day of light. You know, one of the things we hear all the time, and people say it, it's even Christians will say it. We don't think about it when we say it because everybody else says it. When we get to Saturday and Sunday, we say, well, it's the weekend. What isn't the weekend? Sunday is the week beginning. The week beginning. And in the plan and purpose of God, these things would not come, you know, on the other days of the week, or even in the last day of the week. They would come in the beginning of the week. New light, say. Life out of death. The old order had ended and been fulfilled and was being fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to the new day. To the new day, the New Testament times. And it all, of course, points to not only present salvation and the hope of eternal life, the certainty of eternal life, but to the last day, the new day. So it's not incidental or accidental. that we come and assemble on the first day of the week, because it is a day of light. It's a day of life. It's the day of salvation. And certainly we read about that. And many times we refer to, whether it's on this day or during another particular Sunday, we have met together in this sermon or this scripture or that scripture, and we've looked at 1 Corinthians 15. And right there is Paul unfolds to us the essential nature of the gospel. I'm giving to you that which I received first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. You can't get away from the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, and the hope of the resurrection, the literal, the historic, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How many times have you heard me say, or you read for yourself in the book of Romans, those simple words, those glorious words that so many people refer to when they're speaking of salvation, in from Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no salvation apart, and not only from the resurrection, but on the part of God's people, in their belief in the resurrection. Not a mirage, not something that's theoretical or just spiritual or symbolic, but the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and was buried, and the third day he rose again. But as we look at all things, and there are many scriptures that can come to your mind, and certainly that should come to your mind in all this, just it's interesting the focus just in this passage of Scripture. And another thing that emerges from this chapter that I haven't read in your hearing, but certainly is evident in the challenge and the question that the heavenly messengers, the angels, proposed to these women who had come to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly were perplexed at what they saw. It tells us they failed to remember. And then when you go on, and you take it up in verse 13, we see, and behold, there went out two men. They were the disciples from the village of Emmaus, and who, of course, met them, and they did not perceive, and they did not understand. They were actually speaking with, walking with, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord so beautifully goes back into the Old Testament. Goes back into the Old Testament. The Old Testament that these men certainly knew. They were trained in it from birth, and certainly the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill it. And often in the words that are recorded for us in the New Testament, in the Gospels, have reference to the teaching in the Old Testament and the prophecies in the Old Testament that he was the Christ. And then in the 25th verse, he says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. The Old Testament looks forward to Christ. The Gospels present to us the realization of Christ, and the epistles, of course, relate the consequences to us of the ministry and the person and the work of salvation through Jesus Christ. And yet they couldn't see it. You know, I don't hear it so much today. Maybe it's not because I'm among the circles or with anybody who says that anymore, but I can remember years by for those who said, would it have been a glorious time to have been in the presence of the Lord and to see him heal the blind man and give him sight, or give the lame man the ability to walk, or feed the 5,000 and be, etc., etc., etc. And yet there were those who actually followed him who didn't understand and perceive all these things. They forgot. It reminds me of my own weakness of mind and spiritual perception of heart. What things that I have read or you have read from Scripture or heard preach that we fail to really hear. Or we forget. Or maybe we focus on this aspect and not the other aspect. And certainly that was part of the glorious ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as he taught his immediate disciples. It was expedient for him to leave. He would give another, the Holy Spirit, like unto himself, who would bring these things into their remembrance. And blessing, of all blessings, they were the prophets and the apostles of the New Testament who were able to write for us by the Holy Spirit the rest of the revelation of God. And when we read it and we're unsaved and don't know Christ, they're foolishness to us. We can't perceive. Oh, you can know details, you can memorize details, but you don't have a spiritual understanding. The natural man does not know the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually revealed to us. So we're thankful for the ministry given by the Holy Spirit. And so these loyal, loving disciple women, as well later on as of others' disciples, needed their eyes fully open. Are we not studying 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians? And Paul is trying even to correct and to bring further understanding to these new believers about the last time and about his coming and the implications of his second coming. But the interesting verse, and really the verse I don't really have the time to focus on, but if I were only going to focus on, I always have one last thing on this morning, was this question. The first question that we asked by the angel to the women. And verse 5 of the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. And it's a question for all mankind. It's certainly a question for us, and we're thankful by the grace of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we've been able to see this question answered for us. They were afraid, and they should have been afraid. And they bowed their faces to the earth. And they said, that's the angel said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? There are a lot of well-known philosophers, a lot of well-known leaders, and there are a lot of well-known founders of false religions and ideas, and they've all died. And those that are present will die. And those after us who have died and will come and bring new ideas or different ideas or the same ideas regurgitated and put in a different package that people will follow. And the world has gone after this one, and they're going after this one, and they're all dead. There was a man named Karl Marx, and many people followed him, and they still follow him. And you can make your way, I don't know if you want to, or why you'd want to, and go to Russia. And I thought after the collapse of the Soviet Union and how things were turning around, they would carry away Lenin out of his tomb. But there you can go see old dead Lenin. And if you study history, you recognize how he and his followers, Stalin, how many people they murdered in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And he's dead as a doornail, laying there. You see that old dead body, they've done something. The preserving could go out to the pharaohs. Sometimes they unearth some body of a pharaoh. You can go to the grave of Darwin, who has caused all types of false ideas and led away thousands and millions of people since his time. Whoever it is. You go to India and follow, who do they follow in? Confucius or Buddha. And you can follow any of these men, Mohammed, whatever they are, who have captured the sinful, ignorant minds of millions in the past. And they're all dead. They're all dead. And their bodies and bones, some of them have disintegrated and gone to dust. But one man was demonstrated in power that he lives. One of the things Jesus declared was, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Remember the name of God? I am. He is. The only thing that is, that was, or will be, is God. For all life comes from Him. And graciously and lovingly and His mercy He has provided for us in this life and the next life. Oh, you read so beautifully in the book of Revelation as it begins, the declaration that Jesus makes of Himself and is recorded for us there by John. I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And if we believe in Him, we shall live. But that same question has another part to it. Why do people today follow the live dead? Everybody outside of Christ, outside of His grace, outside of the work of the Holy Spirit, they can do great things. They can say interesting things. They can accomplish great works and heap on themselves a great wealth and power. But they're the living dead. They have no true life in them. They have no future life. They don't know Him who is the resurrection of the dead. People make idols. I'm always interested in people. You can watch this program or that program or read in the paper. Oh, these stars. Well, who makes anybody a star? And they'll say, and I don't watch any of those late night talk shows or anything, but you see the advertisement, and they'll say this one's there, and that one's there, and the next one's there, and people just, they're fascinated by their lives, and they're fascinated by what they do, and they want to imitate them, and they want to follow it, and 99% of the time, I'll turn to, if there's another person in the room with me, and I say, well, who in the world is that? I never heard of them. Never heard of them. And you know what? I don't really care about that. This and this one and this one and this one and this one. And maybe once in a great while I say, oh, I recognize that name. I recognize that. But they make them idols and stars, and they dress like them, and they're interested in what they eat and what they do. And oh, if they said something, wow, wow. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The only one we ought to seek and continue to seek, thankful by the grace of God and work of the Holy Spirit, who reveals himself to us, is he who is real, who is, who was, who shall be, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. Let us pray.